Would to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14. Jeremiah, chapter 14. And in our study of Jeremiah, God is seeking to remind and awaken Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, to the imminent threat of Nebuchadnezzar and the destruction of Jerusalem. And they are not responding at all. So among the different things that God does, here's one of them, chapter 14, to awaken them. And in chapter 14, you have, I'll read the first statement, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth, or the drought, the absence of rain, if you would. Now, so in the light of that, he's looking back, Jeremiah is, these are chapter 14 and 15, you're looking at Jeremiah's personal autobiography of what's, he's looking at everything and he's giving you his personal view of it at this point. And as he looks back in the end of Josiah's reign, which is 609 approximately, and the begin literally, Jehoahaz is only 3 months. And so Jehoiakim, Kim, K-I-M, is the next one. So between Josiah, the end of his reign, and in the beginning of Jehoiakim's reign, which is 609 approximately, plus or minus, that's the time of this drought. That's the time. So remember, 605, 4 years later, is when Nebuchadnezzar comes in for the first time. So this is prior to that, and God is seeking to awaken Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. And in the process, it is referred back as Jeremiah gives us the account of it. And so we go to chapter 14 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning, on account of the report, it comes to Jeremiah, and concerning the explanation, the understanding of the dearth or the drought. Now, in the light of that, the want of rain, the absence of rain. Now, in order to catch the flavor of this, we need to go back and then come back to this. Over, if you would please, to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26. And in Leviticus 26, I'm just going to pick up the accounting of the need of Israel to be trusting God in the overcoming the enemy, etc. And here in chapter 26, picking up, if I can, in verse 17, and I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. You're going to be so afraid. Verse 18, and if you will not yet for all of this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Verse 19, I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. So you can't go up, nothing can come down, you can't get nothing out of the ground. You're on hard, brass, iron. There's no way to get anything out, no way to have anything come down. Solid, locked in. Over now. Now, one other place that relates to this, over to Deuteronomy. And remember, we did the cursings and the blessings. And here, picking up, if I can, In chapter 28, and I'll start in verse 22. And the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with the sword, with the blasting, with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thee, over thy head, shall be brass, and the earth that is under your feet shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven, and it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. So one of the ways, here's chapter 28, verse 15 to the end, is all about cursing, cursing, cursing. And one of the ways that God seeks to awaken them, he gives them a sign, he gives them something that will get their attention to see what's missing, what's happening, and one of them is a judgment of drought, rain, no rain, no rain. Now, having that in mind, back over if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 14. So it is that they understood. So when this happened, you can understand their response as it is given to us. And you'll notice, please, in chapter 14, picking up if I can, and remember now, this is the drought is in plural, the intensity of it. So when it's plural, it intensifies, it makes it strong, or frequent, but strong. So here's this strong, intense drought. And we've had it, you've seen different parts of the country, the world over the years. And when a drought is really there, and they have the pictures of the ground, as you'll catch in a moment, we understand it. Verse 2, Judah mourneth. Judah is mourning. That means to sink down, to of grass, of plants. They shrivel up, they wither, they waste away, thus they mourn. The person, the plants. And verse, Judah, the persons and the plants, mourn. They just shrink. There's nothing in them to sustain them. They shrivel up. They shrivel up. If we could take, remember your body is 70% water. So, if we could go right now and draw all that liquid from you, 70%, whatever's left is going to be very dry and very dead. Dry, dry. Now, so here's Judah. Judah is mourning. It personally, as a people, and the gates, speaking for the whole city, the cities of Judah are languishing, and in the process now, remember in it all, Judah is all upset about the drought. Now Nebuchadnezzar hasn't even started down yet, but they're all upset. God's trying to tell them what's going to happen, but they just aren't listening. They don't want to pay attention. They are paying attention to the drought. You have to pay attention to the drought. There's no way you can avoid what's happening to the land with no rain. Now, so here we are going, and the Judah is mourning, the gates, the cities, gates speaking of the whole city, is languishing. They are black. Black unto the ground. The word black means to be covered, dark, gloomy, that which is enfolded. And it's used of mourning. We have black pall that goes over the casket. People, when they're mourning, put black on. Black. Mourning. They're mourning. The ground, it's so bad. Everything is getting clipped because of what Judah and Jerusalem are doing. They're disconnected from God. And you'll notice in all of their frustration about everything, they're concerned about the dryness and the consequences of what it means to have no rain, and they're all upset. They are not upset about sin. They are not upset about their heart. There's no mourning about their soul. They don't even think about that. What's that got to do with it? Everything. Well, you'll see. Now, so in verse 2, the Judah is mourning, the gates thereof are anguishing. They are black unto the ground, mourning, mourning, mourning. And the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. The cry is gone up out. And the whole problem is there's no rain, there's no water, there's nothing. There's nothing at all. Nothing is happening. Now, in verse 3, and then their nobles, the word nobles is chief, lords, the word majestic, distinguished, splendid, the people of dignity, the people that are chiefs, people that are lord, people that are leaders. The nobles have sent their little ones. The word little ones is one word, insignificant, young. They're taking people that are insignificant to do their errands. And thus you would have the word servants when you say little ones, insignificant people, to serve them. They go to the well, they go to the cistern, they go to the brook, they go to try to find water. That's what they're trying to do. They need water. Their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits, the cistern, with a ground with a cement, or the, not cement, but the rocks, etc., where they collected water, and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads. The servants, the people that went to get the water, come back with no water. And so they aren't happy at all. They couldn't fulfill the errand. The nobles aren't happy because they don't have any water. No one has any water. They don't have any water. It's a drought, a very serious drought. Now, and the reason, verse 4, they're all upset, verse 4, because the ground is chapped, and the word chapped has to do to be broken in pieces. That's what I started to say. If you've seen pictures of very, very dry ground out west or anywhere, and when it's dry enough out in the desert, out in the different places you've seen it, and the ground is so dry, it all is cracked. And you look at it, and there's squares. They're all cracked like an earthquake had hit it all over. So dry, hard, dry. So, because the ground is cracked, chapped, why? For there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. It was so hard, you couldn't plow it, you couldn't plant it, you couldn't do anything with it. They're ashamed. They bow their head, they're down, they're embarrassed. What can I do? We can't do anything. You want food? We can't raise it. Verse 5, not only is the farmers, but the animal life, verse 5, yea, the hind, little deer, doe, also calved, that means gave birth, in the field, little fawn, little baby deer is born. But the normal instinct is to say the mother stays with the baby and seeks to nurture it and help it. But it's so bad, the ground, and there's no water, no food, and here's the little baby deer, and the mother walks away. There's nothing to do. It's that bad. The mother just has to leave the little deer on the ground to die. That's all. And the hind is also calved in the field and forsook it. And why? Because there was no grass. And to boot, verse 6, and the wild asses, the donkeys, did stand in the high places. Remember now, here's the heat, hot, very dry. So you're trying to get cool and you're trying to get relief. And they go up to the high places. And up there, the donkeys don't normally go to high places. And you go up because you're trying to get relief up there. And in the process, the donkeys stand in the high places. They snuffed up, they gasped, lifted up their, they grasped, gasped, I should say. They stuffed up the wind like dragons. They looked up, they were hot, it's hard to breathe, grasping for air, panting, the air is less air, the higher you go. And thus the wild asses did stand in high places, they snuffed up the wind, and they did it like dragons. Now the word for dragon is that which stretches itself along, hence a great water animal of all kinds, and one of which is a crocodile, and sea monster, sea. What do they have to do? Whales, blue whales, great whales. Well, what do they have to do? They have to come up for air. So when they go down, they down and down. But boy, when they come up, they're gonna grab hold of that air that they need to go back down again to where their food is and where they live. So they need to grab the air. The donkeys are up there, and the wild asses, and the deer is in the field. The donkeys are up there. In other words, all of life is affected, affected, infected by the sin of God's people. Everyone's paying for it. The donkeys didn't do anything. The little deer didn't do anything. It's the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And God has sent the drought in. A terrible, terrible drought. And the end of verse 6, they snuffed up the wind like dragons, and their eyes looking out as the donkeys do in that, they fail. Why? Because there is no grass, there's no food, no herbage, no food, none whatsoever. So God, here we are looking out, and as they're looking out, there's no... nothing out there for them to get, nothing to have. So it affects everything and everyone. So when that kind of condition exists, it's awful hard not to see it, awful hard not to sense it. Now God, we got a heart problem, a relationship problem. It's not good inside, but we aren't paying attention to the inside. We're busy living outside, surface, general world we live in. Now, when you disturb the general world we live in, and you darken and make that dead, dry, nothing, and we're seeing it, pretty soon we start getting going inside, if we're smart enough. Because you want to see why are the conditions like they are. Well, they always are. It isn't the problem. It's a heart problem. And the whole system is paying a price for it in an awesome way. Now, in order to catch that and put that together, and it's an awesome, good, wonderful section, actually. Pick up, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 2. And when we started in Jeremiah... hit the issues. Jeremiah chapter 2. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, if I may, picking up, please, verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? In other words, they've got into something that isn't even real. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Why? For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, that's back to your verse in chapter 14, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, God, you're going to demonstrate their need, heart need, by making them pay attention to their physical, worldly, daily existence. I am. And now, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. It isn't rain. It isn't rain they need. They need a relationship to me. I am the blesser. And you can't get the blessing apart from the blesser. And they have forsaken the blesser, so there is no blessing. There is no blessing. Now, will you wake up? There's no blessing. Pay attention. No, they aren't paying attention. They aren't going to pay attention, unfortunately. So now, having said that, over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, picking up the thought, if I may, in chapter 17, verse 5, you know it. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Now, so here's like a heath in the desert. Now, that word in the Hebrew is a dwarf juniper. Think of a juniper tree, and then think of a miniature juniper tree that grew. Now, little leaves and clusters. And the goats in the wilderness destroy that, because that's food. And the goats clean those juniper trees and make them desolate. They empty them down. They eliminate them, as it were, make them look awful. Now, you could say that, but that's not going to be as effective. And I understand the word a little bit, but I use the word that we're familiar with a little better. And just think, if you've seen a desert or anything and been in the desert, I use the word a tumbleweed. Ever see the wet desert blow? And you just see these big balls of straw or whatever blow around, and they're useless. Useless. They're no good. They don't have any growth. They're dead as dead, 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 dead. No life in them at all. Now, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, whose heart departeth from the Lord. He is like that. He is like that. And the verse 6, and when he will not see good when good cometh, but he's going to live in the dry, dead, parched places, like in a salt land, where like the salt sea out in California, the desert. Wow. Nothing there at all. Nope. And in contrast to that, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Now, what's the difference? Israel isn't even connecting. What are they misconnecting? What are they failing to connect? Verse 8. He shall be like a tree, as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river. She shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Do you see the word drought there? That's the only other place over in John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. John 17, Jeremiah 17, verse 1. Jeremiah 14, verse 1. And Jeremiah 17, verse 8. The only two places. Now, and thus, here it is. Be careful in the year of drought. So when drought comes, if you are trusting God, that's what Abraham knew. If you're going to trust God, then there's no problem. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful, verse 9. Above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, the insides, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So here's Israel, and they had this drought way back in the beginning with the end of the reign of Josiah. And they have this drought. The drought is a very serious drought. It is so serious that animal life, city life, everybody is paying a heavy price to live, to try to survive this drought. Everything. So there's every way you look, there is death, dryness, and dying. Now, and thus, so here, God, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would now, to Deuteronomy. Now we need to go and put it together. Here's the, be like a tree. All they had to do is trust God. That's what, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. That makes everything work. Yet they have forsaken me, Jeremiah 2:13, fountains of living water. They've forsaken me. So they've left it all out. I'm trying to get their attention, trying to make them see, but they aren't seeing. They got a heart problem, and I'm showing them their heart problem by the circumstances out here, the drought, the dryness, and the awful conditions that exist. Now, so in the light of that, they left God out. He's the blesser that makes for the blessing. Over to Deuteronomy, as I suggested. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, picking up, if I can, in verse 10. For the land, whether thou goest to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt from whence you came, but where thou sowest seed and thou waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. In other words, we shared before, what do they have to do? And here they live in the end of the Nile in Goshen. And what do they do to get all the water of the Nile? Not rain. They're going to have to go and pump it with a foot, the wheels. And they took turns pumping the water into the trenches to get the water into the ground out there where they could plant, where they could have water to grow things. That's what they had. It was work, a lot of work. Do you know what? It isn't going to be like that in the land. Verse 11. But the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. God, you're always watching. That's right. I told you, you'll be like a tree, planted, and you never worry about anything. You never worry about droughts or anything. Wow, droughts, danger. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and wine and fine and thine oil. And I will send grass, there's your word, I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle. Remember the animals, the deer, the jackass, they have no water. I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed, therefore, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and turn not aside to serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord God giveth you. It's a wonderful thing God is giving you. God is going to take it. You don't have to work at it. Just going to go, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to bring it all down wonderfully, wonderfully for you if you just honor me. But you have to honor me. Now, if you don't honor me, of course you won't know. You won't know. You'll never know. Now, over, if you would, Psalm 65. Psalm 65. They were to, they forgot God, left God out. Psalm 65. David is going to say, in the light of when everything is reasonable, God, you take care of it. We just read that. God would do it, and God did it. So here's a place, a case in point. And you will notice 65 and verse 8. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. So here's when Israel is blessed and God is blessing them marvelously, people out there looking are afraid because God's taking care of them. And you don't want to mess with God, and that's the problem. So God's taking care of them, and the nations know. God's, think of a study in Joshua. God knows. They know God's taking care of them. So, man, you take it easy. Take it easy. Wow. Now, and verse 8, and thou makest the outgoing of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers, not hard. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. And thy paths drop fatness. The word paths is the word track, to track. Think of tracking, looking at a track. Here's the wagon going down the track. The wagon's loaded. The wagon's so full as it goes down the track, it's dropping everything onto the ground. Dropping it on the fat. It's all flowing over. Like Psalm 23. My cup, what? Overfloweth. God, you crown the year with goodness, verse 11. Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. God, you're bless. That's right. I told you. But Israel, did you get this? Nope. You forgot all about it. You forgot all about history. You didn't pay attention. You learned nothing. Now, Psalm 66. And again, picking up our thought, the land, as the land is going to be blessed, so are the people, if they're looking to God. And Psalm 66, picking up please, in verse 10. For thou, O God, hath proved us, thou hast tried, put us to proof, to the test, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. You allowed us to get into trouble. You allowed us to trip and fall. You allowed us to grow, to learn, to trust you. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. God, you let all these things. You let the drought happen so that we'd learn, we'd pay attention, we'd wake up. Verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, conquering us, trouble. We went through the fire, we went through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy, saturated, the word wealthy, rich, saturated, soaking wet, saturated, it can't hold any more water. Something. I will go. I will go. God, you did that. Where did we learn that? We learned that. Israel, you don't have to have Nebuchadnezzar level the city. Why don't you just wake up and look to me. Stop forsaking me. Stop counting on everything and everyone to make your life come out all right. Stop doing that. Why don't you just look to me? But they aren't doing that. If they did, wow. Like this. And the result, verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt offerings, sacrifices of fatlings, and with the incense of rams, and I will offer bullocks with all kinds of ways to show God, I appreciate you, thank you, Selah. Verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for the ground. But it doesn't say that, does it? For my soul. That's what they're missing. They're looking for things to work out without looking to God. They left him out. For my soul. All of it. All the trouble. So boy, trouble, and all kinds of things. No, it's what's happening in here? What's happening in here? I'm waking up. Thank you for the drought. Thank you for all the problems. God, I want to wake up. God, thank you. I want to be like that tree planted by the rivers. And no matter drought, death, disappointment, no matter who, what, where, it never stops having water and fruit. I want that. For my soul. Now, I cried unto him, verse 17, with my mouth he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, verse 18. But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. God, you have been wonderfully, wonderfully merciful. That's right. My soul, God, I got it. And God, it went through. But boy, Israel with Jeremiah, they just aren't getting it. They aren't getting it. Psalm 32. David's going to help us again to see it's a soul problem. It's a heart problem. It isn't a ground problem. It's a heart problem. Psalm 32. And you remember David. And David is going to go and has his problems and he gets them fixed. And then his testimony, Psalm 32. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I want you to know, said David, I've been through it. I'm telling you for real. I've been through this whole thing. When I kept silence, verse 3, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I lived in one form of frustration to another, and failure, frustration, everything else that goes with it. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I'm all dried up. I have no fruit, no flexible, no freshness. I'm all dried up and all dried out. There's not much there. We take a bone, a dead bone. What's a dead bone? A dead bone is a dead bone. That's all it is for a dog, if it's dead. That's all. A dead bone. Your bones aren't dead. Fortunately, they hopefully have a little something going for them. Moisture and stuff that makes your marrow and all that. Wow. You got to have that. You don't want to have a dead bone, dry bones. God's going to do that with Israel. They are a valley of dry bones. And God's going to give them life. Now, Psalm 32, David said, my heart was all dried out as no water, as a drought. I didn't have anything for my heart, for my soul. Verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is... I confess, God, that's all I could do. I didn't ask for forgiveness, I just said I'm wrong. That's what you wanted. You wanted that. Is Israel going to say that with Jeremiah? Never. I'm not going to say that. Jeremiah, you're going to say it, but Jeremiah, it isn't your problem, it's their problem. I acknowledge my sin again, and I confess. Verse 6, "And for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. And thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Salah. God, you're going to just take care of it. So God, I'm going to confess. Israel isn't going to do that about Judah, Jerusalem. But David, you did. That's right. And I reminded myself, since it is a maskil psalm to teach, one of those psalms, that tribulation comes, you want to read these. Read these or something for understanding. Now, and thus, verse 8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in bit and with bit and bridle, lest they come near. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." So, God, what do we want to do? We don't want to be like a horse or mule that's so stubborn, so set, so locked in that we can't ever change. We got to change. We got to think differently. But we don't want to do that. People don't want to do that. So what do we have? Well, we have, if you were back in Jeremiah 14, you don't have to go back there, you're going to read what? You're going to read, "They had no water," verse 3. "They had no rain," verse 4. "They had no grass," verse 5. Verse 6, "They have no grass." They have nothing. It's everything's missing. They don't have anything. They don't have anything. You got nothing. You got nothing in your head, nothing in your heart, nothing in the ground. Nothing in your water. You have no glass of water. You have nothing. And they didn't wake up. They didn't wake up. Nope, they were set. Now, in the light of that, applying it to here we are. Over, if you would please. Oh, to Philippians. To help us out, because I want to learn. I don't want to. I want to learn. I don't want to find what's missing. I don't want to have to go through the trauma of all of that. I would like to be a good student to learn very quickly. So I want to understand and trust the blesser so that I can be blessed, like we read in Joshua. Chapter 4, if I can. In Philippians 4:11, Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content, sufficient, content. I'm quite sufficient. How so? I know how to be. I know both how to be abased, low. I know how to abound, high. Everywhere, in all things, much or little." Like we read in Psalm 66 and went through all the drama, troubles. But boy, I learned from it. "I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I've learned to be content." I've learned the sufficiency. It has nothing to do with my physical body. It has nothing to do with my earthly conditions. It has everything to do with my heart, rightly related to you. And when my heart is rightly related to you, everything's okay. There is no such thing as drought. Only on the outside. Because I'm looking to you, God. I'm like a tree planted. Like it says in chapter 15, 4 and 5. You're the vine and I'm the branch. A branch is nothing. Look, and you'll see branches laying all over the place. But you know when the branch is attached, you got all those leaves, all the stuff, buds happening. Wow. Because it's attached. It's attached. And you already spelled it out to me, so that I don't have to be too stupid about it. You said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing at all. You already told me that. So if I'm catching on, it takes a while. have to go through the hard knock thing, and sometime we want to catch it before we die, hopefully, to get it. And God, we got it. Now, so here we are. I'm content. Verse 13, I can do all things. 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So it wouldn't make any difference whether I'm on the bottom or the top. It's easy or hard, much or little. It wouldn't make any difference. Because God, I can trust you in it all. And you're going to treat me like that tree. And I'm going to be blessed. And that's all that counts. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So God, you're going to take care. I am. And Israel isn't learned that, isn't trusting at all. And so therefore, they don't know that. They could know it. David knew it. Others knew it. But as a nation, Jerusalem and Judah, they didn't know. They could have known, but they didn't. Now, if you would, to the book of Philippians. We're there. We did that. 1 John. 1 John. Philippians, will be content in what things we have, and we're going to trust you. And in the process, we're just going to go down the corridor of time, as we've said 5,000 times. We're going to go down the corridor of time, and the tree, fellowship. Think of John 15. You'll be like when you are abiding in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And my Father, when you do it, my Father is pleased, 15 and 8, so that what? You bear much fruit. That's what I want you to do. So fruit, in the middle of famine, fruit. In the middle of frustration, fruit. In the middle of everything going bad, fruit. Fruit. A thank you, God, looking to God, trusting God. The heart is being blessed by the relationship. Thus, chapter 1, 1 John, picking up, please, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship, that you may have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. So it's all about having a wonderful relationship to God, the blesser, so that you're blessed. And Israel didn't learn it, but we have the advantage of learning from them and reading what they failed to do. They're still not blessed. They will be, but not yet. And here we are looking, and so God, the only thing you're telling us to do is what? In verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So God, we want to have that. We don't want to have, and the drought, the trouble brings out of our heart where we are. Are we going to curse or are we going to bless in the middle of it? Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship with God, as a tree, as a branch, to the vine, as the Father to the Son, Son to the Father, If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So David, what did you say? It was, when my heart was wrong, Psalm 32, it was like a drought, and a dry all dried up. But you know, I confess my sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David said, I confess my sin, and God bless my heart. God bless my heart and watered my soul. That's what he did. So here we are, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then God is going to go and cleanse us, and he's forgiven us in Christ Jesus, and the blood of Jesus Christ exercised on our behalf, and our believing and understanding its value so that we're forgiven. And then we enjoy the forgiveness, and we're looking to you, God. So it isn't anything about us. It's about us learning to trust you. And so therefore, we're going to be like a tree planted by living waters, and you're going to bless us. And keep in mind, if we took time to read, Psalm 1 says the same thing, doesn't it? You'll be like a tree. Psalm 1. It's all about the man. Psalm 1, the perfect man, Christ Jesus. He's the perfect man. He begins the psalm, the man, blessed. What have we got? We got the message, God. We're looking at it. We got it. So God, here's the drought. We're living in a drought. A national drought, a global drought. It's not getting any better. It's getting drier and drier and drier and darker. And as it does, then people are going to say, well, why did this happen? Or how come that? And how come this? And what are we going to do about ISIS? Nothing. What are we going to do about it? But we can't. Now, so then, that's frustrating. It is. How do we stop it? We don't. Not in our system. We don't do that. No, God, we're going to look to you. And God, it won't make any difference whether we're in the middle of Saudi Arabia, whether we're in the middle of Iraq, Iran, Russia, Siberia, China, Guantanamo down there, jail. And in all of that, God, we're going to look to you. So it won't make any difference where we are and the conditions. So God, we're going to learn to understand from Israel what they failed to do and the church is failing to do. They're leaving you as a secondary. They have four other solutions. And when all those four solutions run out, then we turn to God. We turn to God when all the other solutions run out. No, we turn to God first. And then we see how the solutions fit in, if they fit in at all. So God, here we are looking to you, and we want to learn from the drought. Israel and Judah are not, but we want to. So God, it's a wonderful thing to be blessed by the blesser, that's you. And so God, we're looking for you to help us to be a tree planted so that no matter what, the leaf, always there, leaf and the fruit and the water, you're always there. God, you never run out. Nope. You never quit. You always care. Always. That's the trouble. If God didn't care, there wouldn't have been a drought. He just let it go. God does care, and that's why there's problems. Now, so perhaps you have a particular request as we go to prayer. Remember our country.